I'd like to begin with a word of prayer. Would you please fold your hands with mine? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for the rich and abiding love you have for us in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, he who gave his everything and his all for us on the tree of the cross, washing away our sin in his precious, innocent, and holy blood, rising again, the victor over sin, death, and hell. Comfort us that our sins are forgiven, that you are a God of love, grace, and mercy. Be with us in our conversation this day. Lead, guide, and bless. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, I welcome you. Glad to see each and every one of you. This is rather a sad topic, isn't it? I think we can think of it this way. That which once was is no more. That is a marriage. Or that which once was is broken. And we know God's intent for marriage. One man, one woman for one lifetime. That which should break the marital bond is death. So we speak those vows, don't we, until death parts us. So I was thinking of the causes for second marriages. And ultimately, the cause for a second marriage is sin. Because the wages of sin is death. Or the cause of a second marriage is divorce. A breaking of which God had joined. I think we need to think of that as God's goodness. What God has joined together, let man not separate, or literally to tear apart. So sin is the cause of second marriages, whether that comes through death or whether that comes through divorce. I appreciated Pastor Mons. I got in here a little bit late, but my thinking is that we need to work really hard before people are married. So through the years, what a joy it's been to work with couples. But do you know that it takes more work to get a driver's license than a marriage license? Because for a driver's license, you have to think and you have to study. My 15-year-old son just got his learner's permit. He thought about it. He studied for it. There was a test. What do you need to get a marriage license? Money. One witness. Yep. And dare we say that many enter marriage inadvisedly or lightly? So I think this is a very sad thing. A sad thing that we love things and use people instead of loving people and using things. So one of the points I want to make is to my brother pastors is, let's work hard. Let's teach well. Let's catechize people before they're married about marriage, what it is, the joys and blessings and the challenges of marriage. Now, one of the things I've done is I have about 30 questions that I've developed through the years that I ask couples who come in who are going to get married. And you can actually use that as a diagnostic tool to kind of highlight some of the challenges. Very simple questions. How did you meet? How long have you been seeing each other? Why do you want to get married? What challenges are you going to face? How regular are you in worship? So on and so forth. And isn't it true that it seems the last one to know about marriage problems is the pastor? So often, I've had people come in and say, we're divorced. Never came for help. Never prayed about that. So again, we need to teach our members to come. We're here for you, care about you. So we have some challenges there. I think, too, concerning second marriages, when someone has broken that marriage bond, not death, then we really need to work hard. If you want to look at your sheet here, the first point made is simply sin breaks the marriage. And I believe, too, the ultimate cause of a second marriage is sin. So sound pastoral care of those entering, it says another marriage, but any marriage, is of paramount importance. In the book Pastoral Theology, published in 1990, I just want you to think about this little quote. Play not the fool nor the insensitive clod. The fool would be one who just says, oh, you were married and now you're going to get married. Wonderful. The insensitive clod would be one who says, I'm not going to have anything to do with you. So this calls for pastoral care and godly wisdom. Have any of you been in a situation like that? A lot of us have. Is there a time when a pastor can say, I will not marry you? Certainly. So the cause of a second marriage, I think that needs to be explored. We need to do that with our people. And I have a little point here, too. There's no going forward without forgiveness for the past. So in terms of a second marriage, law, gospel, confession, and absolution, working with people, asking, in all honesty, what happened? Do you know this is not right? That this is not pleasing to the Lord? That this is sinful? We don't have to be afraid to ask those questions, but to look back. And then isn't it a wonderful thing that for our past there's what? Forgiveness. Forgiveness in Christ Jesus. People who enter a second marriage so often have a lot of hurt. They have guilt. They may have baggage. And we certainly don't want them to bring all that where? Into another marriage. Or sadly, we have to speak of third marriages and fourth marriages. And that certainly should not be. And you know, those God-given roles, they're just that, God-given roles. The role of the husband, head, to provide spiritually, emotionally, physically, for his dear wife. Why are we afraid to set that in front of men? A real man loves one woman, and that's his wife. A real man has that focus. Isn't it sad the way the world presents all this, though? So in the eyes of the world, who's a man? Can you see? In the eyes of the world, it's the one who has all these conquests and all these women. Oh, a real man, in the biblical sense, loves his wife. And the role of the wife to submit unto her husband, as the church submits to Christ, that is with great joy. It's wonderful roles that we need to be talking about. So when someone comes and says, Pastor, I'm going to get married, I think we should be asking some questions. Rejoicing, certainly, but asking questions. Okay? Particularly when someone is going to be getting married for a second time. There is no going forward without forgiveness for the past. I think it's like driving a car. So how often do we look in the rearview mirror? Occasionally. You don't want to gaze upon the past, no, but you want to remember and learn from it, okay? So we can learn lessons from the past, okay? Very, very important. Listen to this, too, from the CTCR. The question remains, however, whether the pastor may announce God's forgiveness where genuine repentance appears to be in evidence. To deny such persons the assurance of God's pardon would be to limit the atoning work of Jesus Christ, in whom there is forgiveness of all sins. So divorce is not what? Yeah, it's not the unpardonable sin. Sin it is, but we point people to Jesus Christ. Okay? I want you to know that I have a second marriage. I'm not going to whitewash my life and think everything's wonderful. There's some very difficult things. It's really, really hard. And it's really, really heartbreaking to have someone leave. You feel absolutely worthless. You feel that nobody cares. You feel that there's no hope at all. Like someone has said, it's like looking up at the gutter. Looking up. And particularly when there's a child involved who you love dearly and who is taken. I am very, very thankful for sound pastoral care. To pastors who didn't turn their back on one of their own and walk away, but on pastors who reassured, not everything's going to be okay, but your sins are forgiven. Christ Jesus loves you. You're God's baptized child. I'm so thankful for that sound pastoral care. To hear someone say to you, as I did, I never loved you. Wow. And there's another man. Heartbreaking. But then to hear Christ loves you. So comforting and so reassuring. Just be mindful of that. Okay? Just be mindful of the wonderful comfort that we can bring. Again, not wishful thinking, but scriptural truth. And truly, that makes all the difference as well. Notice this also. Sound pastoral care concerning second marriages involves proper handling indeed of law, gospel, confession, absolution. Do you really think there's such a thing as no-fault divorce? I don't, because marriage is made up of two sinners. Yep. Yeah, there's fault. There's fault on both parts. We have to be careful with that too, but just understand two sinners make up a marriage. And then here also, to say a divorced person can never remarry lightens the pastor's workload, right? I'm done with you. But fails in regard to the care of souls. And I know I keep pointing at that. But that's so, so very, very important. You have people in your congregation who've most likely been left, who've heard those words too. I'm done with you. I don't care about you. People who've been deserted, abandoned, cases of heartbreaking cases. So too in your congregation, you have people who have been the one who has left and maybe now feels sorrow or guilt over that. So please be aware of those things. The care of souls. Antecedent events that precipitated a divorce need to be explored and understood through pastoral guidance. Again, ironically, to move forward, it is necessary to look back. The situation of marrying those previously married is faced by every pastor. Sadly, it is. And the lingering effects of a broken marriage need to be addressed. There again, we must speak of those who have been married three or four times or more. I just have a question. What does this say about sound pastoral pre-marriage care? And if you disagree, let me know. But for me, pre-marriage is God's word is used. Okay? I think that's so important. We could take personality tests, and you're this type, and she's that type. But do we use God's word outlining what marriage is and the role of husband and wife and pointing to Christ? And in a little bit, too, firm believer also in not just marrying people. Then that day of the worship service comes, and then what can we do? They're married. I tell couples this too. I'm going to visit you. I'm going to ask how you're doing. We're going to make sure you're in church. If we don't see you, we're going to call. So I think there's that continuum of sound pastoral care that's very, very important. Map makers or cartographers wrote on maps before the New World was explored, beyond this place there be dragons. So utter fear. Don't go there. May those preparing for marriage not be left to sail uncharted waters with no compass, and that compass is God's word. The fact that a previous marriage failed increases the baggage brought into the remarriage. The couple needs to understand that this counseling is not a lecture by the pastor, but a way to help them discover who they are in relationship to each other under a forgiving Lord, whom they say they desire to have as a party to their marriage. Okay, it's very, very important. Now, specifically, a blended family. Do you know all these terms that have arisen? Just think of them. Residential custodian, non-residential custodian, stepfather, mother, step-sibling, natural child, half-brother, sister, full-brother, sister, step-aunt, uncle, grandparent, all among other terms, all terms that are result from divorce. Just think of those things. You ever had someone say to you, I'm the step-grandparent, or I'm the stepmother, stepfather? Notice how this affects so many people too, okay? The older ones, the married ones, the younger ones. Today, according to the smartstepfamily.com, 33% of all marriages form a blended family. And this is interesting too. The divorce rate is higher for second marriages, now at about 67% divorce rate, okay? Do you know too there's support groups that encourage divorce so that you can get together with like-minded people who rejoice in that? What a sad comment. So the cause of a second marriage? Sin. Continuance? How do we move ahead? Only with forgiveness and understanding what marriage is and the role of husband and the role of wife. Now, I just have a few challenges here. I think challenges are good because we grow through them. We can learn from them. But in a blended family, there's some unique challenges. Now, this first one isn't necessarily unique, but new dynamics. Okay, new dynamics. So we have the role of husband and wife. Perhaps there are children involved now where a man didn't have children before. His wife had children. Now there's a new dynamic. He's a father as well. So that's a real challenge, and I think we need to point those things out to people. Also, there's this person who just doesn't go away. And that's the, as we say, the ex. So how are we going to handle that? Are we going to be bitter? I hope not. We're going to forgive. As Christ has forgiven us, so we forgive others. But some of you, think of your conversations with people and how that person is characterized, right? It's like this bitter enemy. And think what that does to children, too. That could be their mother or their father, and they're hearing all of these things. Okay, so in a situation like that, what do we need to do? We need to make the best of that situation. Okay, here's kind of a strong point. Adults need to act like adults, and children can be children. But so often what happens is the adult assumes the role of the child, okay? Constantly putting down, constantly criticizing. So that X isn't going to go away. It's just how you handle that situation, okay?